T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome into the inaugural episode of The Birds, The Word, the 92.9 The Game Atlanta Hawks podcast. My name's Andy Bunker. We got Gordon Robinson.
Yes, sir.
We got Deshaun Tate.
Yo.
And I think we could probably call ourselves like a three-man weave, maybe?
There you go.
I like that.
Two-on-one, three-on-one fast, I don't know, something. We'll come up with different names.
That was getting crazy.
Two-on-one. Okay. Okay. We don't want to do that.
Don't put the light-skinned guy in the middle.
Three-man weave. That's what we'll call it, or something. Anyway, The Bird's the Word. It's the 92.9 The Game Atlanta Hawks podcast. We're going to be bringing you a Hawks conversation every single week here on 92.9thegame.com. Thank you for tuning in to the first one. And I think we should start with where I think most Hawks conversations start right now, and that's with Trae Young. Trae Young, in his second season, off to a really good start this year, continuing to put up crazy numbers. I was asking you guys right before we started recording, like, what is Trae now? Like, he's not a superstar yet, but is he one of those guys that, like...
He's a budding superstar.
I think that's right.
I think that's a good way to put it. The media has kind of latched on to him, and they've taken notice. The fans have taken notice, and I think he's someone that people have kind of have their eye on. And they're wondering, is he going to take that next step?
Tate, you've known him for a long time. Obviously, you covered him when he was playing in high school tournaments. You were there the day he got drafted, got a chance to talk to him that night. Like, you've been around him this entire time. Is he different at all? Like,
no, actually, he's not. Everything that I saw, like, it's crazy because everything that we see out of this guy right now is the exact same thing that I saw out of him in high school. I mean, you see him playing regular high school in Oklahoma. He's averaging 42 points per game, but you kind of think, like, okay, well, what does that look like when he's playing against some of the best competition around the country? And it's like there was never a drop-off. And so he took that to Oklahoma and from Oklahoma now to the NBA. And so there was really never a drop-off. And kind of that first time that I kind of like laid eyes on him is when I kind of knew, okay, like this dude's going to be a star. I don't know if that's all-star. I don't know if that's superstar. But I know in one way or another, kind of like how we're talking about it right now, budding superstar, that's what he's going to be. And that's what he's been looking like.
You know when other teams come to town and like the Hawks have – promos running for the, like, oh, come out and see Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Right. Like, when the Hawks go to L.A., or the L.A. probably doesn't have to do it, but when the Hawks go to Portland or something like that, do you think they promote it like that? It's like, come out and see Trae Young. Is that something that other arenas are seeing people showing up to see Trae when they're in town?
I'm sure they do because of the highlights. I mean, you turn on the ESPN, you turn on any other NBA TV, and you'll see Trae Young doing something impressive, whether he's shooting from the P and Pistons from half court almost, or whatever, or a pass. I'm sure they advertise him. He's becoming one of the young faces of the league.
And then when you think about this too, guys, like you start reflecting back and seeing how, you know, the Atlanta Hawks is finally able to like be on SportsCenter for top plays and just being, you know, featured and even being more talked about on different radio stations and things like that, different radio shows and TV shows and whatnot. And a lot of that is because of, you know, Trae Young. And obviously when you pair that with, you know, everything is about like inside-outside duos right now or just duos in general around the NBA, especially on the West Coast, everybody's got like two main players. Well, I don't think that these two necessarily get enough recognition. When you start pairing those two together, I mean, that is the Hawks' top two players, and what they're able to bring, you know, right now, I think is just absolutely phenomenal.
So I have a question. Do you guys, I know I do it, do you guys watch Luka Doncic highlights and compare and do the little mini comparison to yourself? Like, if we had him, how would we look? What direction would we be going in
now? I'm doing it less this year than I did last year because I think I'm just happy with Trae. You know what I mean? Like last year, especially the beginning of the year when Luka was off to this great start and Trae was kind of struggling, it's like, oh man, like could have that guy, you know? And then Trae came along in the second half and was amazing and has gotten off to a good start this year too, where I think I'm starting to stop doing that, but I think I'll always do it a little bit. Like there's always going to be that comparison of the two of them because they were traded on draft day. Exactly. Now, I mean, you got Cam Reddish out of it, too. You got to remember that. Cam Reddish, the number 10 draft pick, came out of that trade, too. But, yeah, I still do that sometimes. I can't lie.
I was thinking about it last night. I watched the Dallas game, and it seems like there's a big push to make Luka a star. They're pushing for him. Maybe because we're in Atlanta, we don't see the push for Trey, but they really pushing Luka Doncic as a star, especially pairing him up with Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself just watching the game thinking what it would be had we only kept Luka. But like you, I'm happy with what we have.
Is it a regret? Like,
no, okay. Definitely not. Yeah, yeah. I think they're two good players. It's just that they're two different players. And so the team would have to be shaped in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have put the team together differently. With Trey, you have Trey going out. He's more of a fast-paced type of guy. Luka's more of a set up the offense. Try to get him in one-on-one position and see what happens and make plays off that. I think Trey is kind of more of an exciting brand of basketball.
I do it. I'm not sure that I do it as often as some people do, and I probably make that comparison sometimes a little bit more than other people do. I think it just kind of really depends, but and kind of going back to what you were talking about, Andy, when, you know, you're talking about what you got out of it with Cam Reddish, and that's not something that we feel, I personally feel that, you know, we completely won over just yet.
He's not a Cam guy. I don't know if you noticed.
That is definitely not the case, but I'm not mad at...
Is it a Duke thing?
No, I'm just not mad at people who... I'm not mad at people who aren't, you know what I mean, Cam guys, because of the fact that when you start looking at what he's brought so far, it isn't even remotely close to what a lot of people thought he would. We know that he has the tools. We know that the skill set is there, the size, the long arms, and all that kind of stuff, but you haven't... Like, the thing that we were afraid of most people, bringing Cam Reddish in, is exactly what he's shown. Now, for the very first game, I think, what was it, the Portland game, was his very first time not starting on the season, and I'm really not sure if that's going to be the better side of it or not, because of the simple fact that you take a guy who was a starter and now you put him on the bench, and if in the event that he's having some confidence issues by any means or anything close to that, how much better are you making that by now putting him on the bench? And I'm really not mad at the coach for doing that.
I don't think he's as fragile as you're making him be, though. I think he's a guy, he's struggling. He's a young guy. That happens. You're going to the NBA playing against the best in the world. You're going to struggle.
So he's young. So it's because
Trey struggled.
So it's because it's early.
Yes. I believe it's because it's early, but like I think you guys mentioned it on your show, Andy. You need confidence. Mm-hmm. You just need to see a couple balls go through the basket. You need to have a game where you feel like, okay, I got a groove. And now I can play. I deserve to be here. I belong in this league.
Well, while I do agree with that, with what you're saying, but in the same token, how much more confidence can you give a guy by putting him in the starting rotation all the way up until this point? He had his opportunities. Even when Trae Young was out, you put him at the point guard position. Even when Kevin Huerter was not ready to be in the starting lineup yet, he was the starter at that point as well. So, like, while I do completely understand what you're saying about it being early and all of that, and I agree that it is, and Trae Young, it was early for him in the season before he finally came around, but it's early for DeAndre Hunter, who's been able to show a little something. It's early for all the rookies, and looking at some of the guys that have been able to do a little something. I mean, you look at all the games that Cam Reddish has played so far. You got the one that stuck out like a sore thumb the most amongst any of the others against the Spurs, I think 12 points or something like that, 50 made all his threes, went 3 for 3, and shot like 4 for 6 from the field. But then I was afraid that you might not end up seeing that again for a while. I know that game just happened last week, but there's been like 2 or 3 games since then, and we haven't seen it again.
Well, I just wonder, like, everybody develops confidence differently, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly Lloyd Pierce has to find out what's going to relate to Cam Reddish, how he's going to handle different things and how he has to manage his psyche, because I don't know how fragile he is or not. I don't know anything really. I've interviewed Cam Reddish a couple times. I'm not going to pretend to know him. Last year, Trae Young stayed in the starting lineup all year because I think Lloyd got the read that, all right, he might struggle, but we can keep him out there. It's not going to crumble his confidence. Like, Cam Reddish clearly has struggled, right?
Well, I don't think he was supposed to be the starter, though.
I agree with that. So I think Huerter was supposed to start, and now that Herter's healthy,
much too soon.
Maybe. I just, because you know that it's true of some people that, and I get what you're saying, Tate, like, he put him in the starting lineup, that's confidence. I put you in the starting lineup in an NBA game, that should be confidence for you. But if you're out there getting your ass kicked, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That might crush your confidence. So then you get put to the bench, and then you have to communicate why you're doing that. Like, I think, I don't know how fragile he is, but I think it's a delicate balance right now with him. Mm-hmm. Trying to get him minutes that matter while also not putting him in matchups that are going to expose him, right, while also putting him in situations where he's going to be able to thrive, while also trying to win. Like, it was easier with Trey because it didn't matter if they won last year. You're trying to get draft picks.
There were no expectations.
Like, I think I know they were trying to win games. Like, Lloyd Pierce, these guys are never actively trying to lose games. But if they didn't win games last year, maybe you end up with two top 10 picks, which they did. I think the goal is different this year, right? So it's hard to just throw Cam Reddish out there for 25 minutes a night when he's not helping. Like, and I think he's helped a little bit, but yeah, I think it's fair to say that, what, how many games in? 8 games in?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a struggle.
Well, you know what? While I do agree with that point as well, and I'm not trying to make this into like the Cam Reddish bash show or anything like that.
Well, if you hate Cam Reddish, come out and say it.
By all means, that's definitely not the case because, I feel like I'm really in the middle. Like, I like Cam Reddish more than some.
I think it's a Duke thing.
You think so? I don't think, you know what? I gave Zion a lot of credit for a lot of things. But guess what? But because Zion showed me, even though I'm not the biggest fan of R.J. Barrett.
You hated R.J.
Barrett. A much bigger fan of Cam Reddish than I was of R.J. Barrett. But I knew what R.J. Barrett would be coming into the league because of how well that would translate from what I've seen from him at Duke to what I see with him at the NBA. I've seen Cam Reddish on the high school level, and he looked very much very similar to this. He scored the ball more, but his body language was much of the same. Then I saw him at Duke, and people try and push the injury thing out there, and people tried to say, oh, well, it was because R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson was on the roster. Well, now you're going into the NBA, and you're going to have star players on your team even more. So at that point, now it's a business. One of the things that concerned me probably more than anything was the fact that, like, if Coach K can't get you out of this mental funk or just out of, you know, you being so inside of your own head or whatever the case may be, or light a fire up under your belly, so to speak, I wasn't sure that Lloyd Pierce was going to be able to be the one to do that. What we see from Cam Reddish is the type of player, who he is as a player is exactly who he is as a person. I made a lot of comparisons to him at Rudy Gay. I'm not saying that Rudy Gay was going to be Scottie Pippen, but I feel like he had some Scottie Pippen-ish type tools when you start looking at his size,
yeah,
his
physically,
build, all those things.
Athleticism, yeah.
Exactly. But he didn't want to be that. He wanted to be Rudy Gay. And I feel like along those same lines is where you find Cam Reddish.
So you question his heart is what I'm hearing.
I question his effort sometimes, a lot of times.
That's heart.
Well, not necessarily. I think it's two different things. I think he has the heart for it, but I just don't think that he puts that together with his effort to actually put it on the floor. I think he wants to do well, and I'm not sure that any of this really helps considering the fact that if you saw this in Cam Reddish on those other levels, now you get to this point and throwing a lot of money.
You're
in
not the
pocket.
First person to say this, right? Sure. I mean, like, and not to say that you're plagiarizing someone else's opinion, sure, of course not, but like people have been saying this about Cam Reddish for years now. Mm-hmm. Like, coming into Duke, that was a criticism. Coming out of high school, obviously, a lot of people said that. Coming into the Hawks, too. And I don't know. I mean, if people keep saying it over and over and over again, they're not making it up,
right?
And now we've seen it. It's only a small sample size. He's 20 years old. Mm-hmm. He could, of course, figure it out, and maybe Lloyd Pierce can bring it out of him. I just want to know how. Like, what's the right way to do it? Because throwing him out there in the starting lineup to get abused by grown men,
mm-hmm, isn't helping.
I don't know if that's the right way to go about it. Maybe it was for Trey. Mm-hmm. It was for Trey. Trey had to figure it out last year on the fly, and he did. But Trey and his effort and his heart have never been questioned, and they never will be.
Right. I give Coach Pierce a ton of credit because whatever it is, I think he does an excellent job with player development.
Yeah.
So there's no one clear-cut thing to do. I think it's individualized. And like you said, we don't know Cam. So we don't know what motivates him. We don't know what brings him down. But we have, in that locker room, they know. And they have to, if they don't know, they have to figure it out. But it has to be specialized and tailored for him.
I think that Cam has to get angry. I think there has to be something that's going to frustrate him and kind of piss him off a little bit to bring the best out of him. I watched him on the high school level, and there were some times when he wasn't really – you know, wasn't really playing all that well. He wasn't really bringing it from the jump or whatever.
Hecklers.
It wasn't. Guess what?
I have an idea.
Sure.
You think he's ever been to College Park before?
I don't know, but I think that would
think
certainly
he should go?
Something.
Ooh, you think he might want to maybe go?
You might be onto something.
Send him down to the Skyhawk.
Let him play. Like let him play 35 minutes a game. Get a little bit bigger. Get some like it's not. Really good players have gone down to the G League their rookie season and come back up and had success in the NBA. It's not like some people might see it as a slight. Some people might see it as a demotion or whatever. And some people might take it personally. Maybe he would. Maybe it would piss him off.
And I'm just getting ready to say maybe that's the fire that he needs.
And I'm not saying that he's one of these players, but there's a lot of guys down there with a different type of motivation that mm-hmm. they use that platform to feed their families.
Grown men. Without half the talent that Cam Reddish has.
And sometimes a lot, you know, you talk about guys that get sent down there and then they find their way back up. There's a lot of guys that get sent down there and they never see the light at the end of the tunnel anymore. Now, I'm not saying that that's him because if that was the case for him, I don't think that would be the situation. He would obviously get called back up. At least I think so.
Well, he's a top 10 draft pick.
Sure.
He's going to get called back up at some point. You're right. I mean, there's G League lifers. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Like, right. I couldn't do that. You know what I mean? And to be able to even make it to that level and get paid to play basketball is impressive. But maybe that's the ticket. Maybe let him go down there and be around people that don't have what he's got.
I feel like Cam is the kind of guy that, because from what I've seen is that coming out the gate, off the tip, I don't really see him bring it the way he does. You know, it's almost to an extent to where, you know, the team that he's, you know, playing against starts out the game on a, you know, 12-2 run, just for an example, throwing something out there. And Cam's guy has about 7 or 8 of those points. Now the coach is forced to call a timeout, bring him over, yank him up by the jersey, cuss him out, and send him back out there. Now all of a sudden Cam Reddish wants to play. I've seen I can't remember the exact game, but I saw it earlier in the season. Cam Reddish went to the basket and got poked in the eye. And it really frustrated him a lot. And he played really well that game. Now, it didn't all show up on the stat sheet, but the effort that I mentioned had been missing, I saw that all of a sudden out of nowhere. So I don't know if this is a matter of just getting banged up a little bit more.
Well, everybody's seen guys like that before, right? Like, it takes something, and then you get going. Mm. You just got to find a way to do that to yourself, right? I mean, there's famous stories of great basketball players across the generations that would manufacture stuff.
Right.
Like, oh, that guy said this about
material.
Randy was telling us a story about John Randall when he was in the NFL and they were lined up across from somebody. And he said to one of the offensive linemen, "What'd you say about my mom?" And the guy was like, "What? I didn't say anything about your mom." "I can't believe you said that about my mom," just to get himself fired. Like, cause if you believe it, then it's real. It's right. Real. So I don't know. Maybe Cam Reddish needs to start thinking somebody's talking about his mom. I don't know.
They take to poke him in his eye before the game.
Yeah, I don't think that's good. I don't think that's a good idea.
That's how Tate loses like his media pass.
But let me ask you guys this. You know,
the Three Stooges. We could call ourselves that.
We could do that. Which one am I? Because I can't be curly. I don't have any hair.
Yeah, who's the bald guy?
Well, that would be me because I'm bald.
I know. Is it Mo?
I don't know who the name is.
Mo was the angry guy who was the
Larry.
Do you remember they had Shemp for a while?
I never seen this before. I never seen the Three Stooges before. Anyway, what were you going to ask?
No. You just kind of threw me for a loop right there for a quick second. But no, I think another thing with Cam Reddish is, and of course, this might not be an ideal way of thinking, but I think part of the thing for Cam Reddish and why he doesn't necessarily have the pressure applied to him nearly as much is because the team is so deep at the wing position and you have DeAndre Hunter there. So, you know, if that weren't the case, what would we see out of someone like Cam Reddish? Because I think it's some in a roundabout way, sometimes kind of hidden from that. And then we talk so much about how well he plays on the defensive end. Is he really playing that well defensively, or is it the fact that it's being overshadowed by how well he's not playing on the offensive end?
I'll say this. If DeAndre Hunter hadn't been drafted before him and drafted at 4, if Cam Reddish was the only person that the Hawks drafted last year in the draft, there'd be a lot more heat on him. DeAndre Hunter's playing well, I think, or at least better than Cam is. I think people are happy. I'm happy with what I've seen from DeAndre Hunter. Bruno Fernando has been kind of a nice surprise in the second round. I think that takes a little bit of the heat off of Cam Reddish, because it was just him and there was expectation on him to be a contributor more than there is. I think people would be pretty frustrated.
But does that help him or does that hurt him?
That's what I was going to ask.
I don't know.
He can get lost in the wash.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We have wing players, And if Hunter and everyone else, or Herter in the other positions, if everyone else is playing well, coach can forget about you on the bench. And you'll just get a D&P.
Right. Yeah. But that should hopefully motivate her. Like, you're competing for playing time with guys that are proven,
right,
certainly more proven than you are. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. I think that if anything has been negative early in the season, there's two things that obviously have been. Maybe Cam Reddish's play. The one that obviously, though, is negative, and I think before we wrap things up here on the podcast, is John Collins. Like, to find out that John Collins is suspended for 25 games. You mentioned earlier about the dynamic duos and how a lot of teams right now, especially in the Western Conference, but across the league, are built on these twosomes. The Hawks' two guys are Trey and John. John's gone. Like, that's, I mean, I know he's coming back, but that's a bummer, man. Like, I still haven't gotten like a clear explanation on what happened. John hasn't spoken yet. Maybe someday he will, but that's bad.
Considering the circumstances, one thing I'm really happy about with everything that's gone on with him is that Jabari Parker is on this roster.
Speaking of taking away some of the heat.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank goodness for Jabari Parker.
He has been arguably the most consistent guy on this roster from the time that the very first game was even tipped off. Like, I mean, just when you're looking at what he's been able to do, and I know that Lloyd Pierce has also mentioned this multiple times, that we never have really questioned his ability and to be able to, you know, get to the basket and just score the basketball in general. All of his issues has always been injury related. But I just think that that is actually the plus or the bright side of anything that has ever happened with John Collins being unavailable.
You mentioned before about the Hawks' expectations coming into the season. I'll ask you guys, have you changed your expectations with John Collins being out? Like,
I have.
How's that curved?
I have.
Anything you've expected from
the
team?
Think the Hawks were, best case scenario, an 8 seed,
right,
7 seed, and it was going to be tight, right? Like, if you're a 7 seed or an 8 seed, that's a game or two, mm-hmm, one way or the other, that maybe you won and you got in there or you didn't and whatever. No John Collins, and for 25 games, you look at what the record is now with him out already. They're 1-1 and whatever 3 at this point already without him, 1-2 or 3 without him. Last year they missed him for 21 games. They were 5-16. John Collins makes a difference.
Definitely.
Those games are the games that you were going to win to make the 8 seed. Exactly. So, yeah, my expectations do change. And I don't know, like, I'm so torn because I don't really know what to believe with it. Like, I want to believe John Collins didn't do it on purpose, unbeknownst to him, like he said. But I also have a hard time with that because you're a professional athlete. You're supposed to know what you put in your body. Like, you shouldn't be putting yourself in a position to miss a quarter of the season based on something that you're either eating or whatever.
Well,
and I think because we like John Collins, and I do like John Collins as a guy and as a player, we maybe give him a little leeway. But what he did is bad. Like, it's really bad that he's gone for a quarter of the season.
Yeah, I just find it irresponsible.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
When you, very simply, whether it's a cream, whether it's a pill or whatever, go to a guy who's in your locker room and say, hey, I was thinking about trying this. What do you think?
And then
they'll give you the yay or the nay.
Dozens of doctors and nutritionists over there. Like, they literally practice at the Emory Healthcare Center.
Exactly.
Come on. Yeah. You don't think there's somebody in there that can tell you whether or not you can take something? So again, maybe it was an accident. That doesn't make it okay.
Right.
And if it wasn't an accident, which I don't know if it was or not, I'm not saying it wasn't, but if it wasn't an accident, then that's even worse. Like, you should be totally ashamed of yourself.
Yeah, I'm like you. I want to hear from the guy because it's cool to read a tweet.
Uh-huh.
And someone to say, oh, it was an accident, I didn't know. That's kind of the standard answer that you're going to get regardless. I mean, anything could happen in this. I'm sorry, I didn't know, whatever. But to get a guy in front of a podium in a room full of media and to see his body language,
yeah,
to hear how he answers questions, his voice going up and down, you kind of, this dude's lying. He's full of it. Or you say, hey, he's a genuine dude. I believe everything he's saying based off of how he answered all of his questions.
My expectations have definitely changed. I think I'm not sure if there's a person breathing oxygen whose expectations hasn't changed without John Collins. I thought that this was a team with John Collins that at very best case scenario could get in as a 7 seed. Potentially, you know, I mean, the 8 seed I think is a little bit more realistic. Where I had them slated was right at about 9, either barely getting in at 8 or barely, you know, not being able to get in at 9. But, you know, when you're looking at a player like John Collins, like coming out of college, I wrote him off completely. I just didn't think that he was going to be a player. I'm like, what are the Hawks doing and so forth, and just watching his game there. And I told, hey, listen, I told John to his face, I didn't expect this from you. I didn't. Because not only did he thrive and play well in his rookie year, but he got better and showed even in his, you know, sophomore year in the NBA, yeah, in his second year. And a lot of times that's really hard to do because
damn,
you're
averaged a double double last year.
You're not surprising anybody either. Like now you have a little bit more of the target on, you know, on your back or whatever. And then it looks like this year, from everything that we saw from him in the few games that he did play, was that he was going to take that to another level. I spoke with him at media days, and some of the things that he wanted to focus on what it takes to get better and capitalize on what he already brought his first 2 years. He said that I wanted to be a better perimeter defender, which I didn't see a ton of, but he said that he wanted to shoot better from the perimeter. We have seen that in the games that he has played this season. Shooting better from the perimeter, including, I think, one of the games was Trey not playing or whatever. I think he hit about three or four threes in that game. And then finally, the last one was rim protection. And he's been showing that he's been better at that, too. So I think it's really unfortunate, and that's one of the biggest reasons why I think that they're really missing him.
Go ahead, Gordon.
Let's be honest, though. I think the game against Philly gave everyone this sense of hope for we can make the playoffs.
We can hang with anybody.
We can. This is probably the best team in the East. And if we look this good against them, well, shoot, we can usher us into the playoffs. And I think that that was overshot simply because we're a young team and the Hawks are going to be inconsistent just because of the youth alone. And we didn't see that because of the way everyone played. And no one thought of that. When you see the potential in a team, I think everyone believes that they're going to be consistent throughout the season doing that and playing at that level. The Hawks weren't going to do that, which is basically why I thought that we would probably be on the outside of the playoff, on the playoff roster, looking at whoever going in. I just don't think that as a young team, you can sit here and say, okay, we beat Philly. We're going to be one of the top teams. Boston, look out. Here we go. Toronto, look out. Here we go. If we get one of them and catch a couple games, we can go right into the finals. We weren't going to do it.
Yeah, that was unlikely. But it's even the consistency thing. I don't know what to expect consistency-wise now because your second-best player is not on the court.
I was just saying, even with him being there, I think we were going to be very inconsistent.
I agree with that. But I think more consistent than they're going to be without him. And look, I don't know. Again, I think it was going to be a long shot to get a 7 or an 8 seed. They maybe could have done it. Don't think they're going to do it now. Be interested to see what it looks like when John Collins comes back, but that's not going to be for about a month and a half. So put yourself in. It's just what sucks about it is I think that Travis Schlenk, Lloyd Pierce, and this organization had gone about the rebuild in a very understandable way. And every step that they had made, okay, I get what they're doing there. Oh, I like this. Oh, that's a positive move. Oh, I like that. This is the first thing that's popped up since Schlenk has taken over that isn't good. Right. And it's like, oh, that's a step in the wrong direction. That's not great. I hope they get it together when John Collins comes back. I don't know. But unfortunately, right now, for about a month and a half, Jabari Parker, good.
Yeah.
A lot more Alex Len, not as good. Alex, they need to work on some hand drills, man. How many passes does Trae Young throw off his chest? Mm-hmm. Catch the ball. Lay it up. You're 7 feet tall.
It happened a lot last year, too.
So much. So many times.
Too much.
But that might be another conversation for another podcast. I think that'll do it.
Well, yeah. Real quick, since we've all have said that we've tempered our expectations, Tate, you're the NCAA insider. Who should we be kind of setting our eyes on?
Oh, well.
I don't know. I think it's kind of early for that because we don't really know exactly where the Hawks might be drafting.
Wind down for Wiseman.
I don't know.
They're not going to be that bad, are they?
No. I hope not. I hope not. But I don't know. Like I said, you start thinking about what some of the needs are on this team. I mean, it looks like you're pretty full at the wing position. I don't know what's going to happen after this year with DeAndre Bembry, who we didn't mention. I know we don't have a ton of time, but just what he's been able to do in terms of sacrifices that he's made and been able to be a plug-and-play player, especially when Trey was out and bringing a lot of energy, defense. I think we all can pretty much agree, if it's okay that I speak for you guys, that we've seen a different DeAndre Bembry versus one that we saw, you know, his first 2 years in the league or whatnot.
He looked really good like the last month and a half of the year last year, too.
Last year, too, but yes, he did.
Agreed. He looks like a player who you want on your roster.
Sure. And once again, that's that confidence that we were referencing.
I think you probably want to start looking towards a legit big that you can start at the center position. I think if there's a need that the Hawks probably need the most, we all sat here and talked about Alex Len. And then John Collins, I don't think it's really fair to put him at the five position. We saw, even though that they... Some people might feel like they overachieved, but when Al Horford was here, I don't think it was ideal to stick him at that five position for that extensive of an amount of time. And this isn't necessarily the draft to be looking forward to trying to get a phenomenal player that can play the center position in the NBA, considering the circumstances.
Maybe it's a free agent acquisition. I don't know. We got plenty of time to figure it out. Hawks are... 10 games in.
Still early.
72 to go. And we'll be talking about it every single week here on the Birds the Word podcast.
Looking forward to it, man.
The exclusive Atlanta Hawks podcast on 929thegame.com. Thanks, guys. Shout out social medias, maybe?
You can check me out. I'm on Instagram at the.commissioner.gordon.
That sounds like a lot.
He always gets it.
That sounds
I knew
like,
it was coming.
That sounds like an IP address.
I don't know how to spell commissioner.
That's the only way I can get Commissioner Gordon in. Everybody had already taken it. All the Batman fans already had it.
No shade to thecommissioner.gordon/@ at Tate's Take Hoops, TateesTakeHoops.
I'm at TVM929. Give us all a follow for excellent content and relentless content, especially stuff that's regarding the Atlanta Hawks. We'll talk to you guys next time.